Remember the Sabbath day. Welcome to episode 59 of Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. Today we'll be covering questions 290 through 299 in To Be a Christian in Anglican Catechism, the official catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm Father Kurt Hein, rector of Light of Christ Anglican Church, joined today by my co-catechist, Father Isaac Rayburg, rector of All Saints Anglican Church. Before we dive in, let's start with a prayer.
This is the collect for Sabbath rest. Almighty God, who after the creation of the world rested from all your works and sanctified a day of rest for all your creatures, grant that we, putting away all earthly anxieties, may be duly prepared for the service of your sanctuary, and that our rest here upon earth may be a preparation for the eternal rest promised to your people in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, Isaac, what is the fourth commandment?
The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Kurt, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Question 291.
Well, Sabbath is from the Hebrew Shabbat, which means rest or holy. Or I'm sorry, holy means set apart for God's purposes. God commanded Israel to set apart each seventh day following 6 days of work for rest and worship. So what we have here is we have the Sabbath, which means rest, and then it is a set apart day for rest that God gives the children of Israel on that seventh day.
Yeah, and the if I'm not getting my two texts mixed up, the Exodus version of the Ten Commandments says that the Sabbath is in commemoration of the Exodus, and the Deuteronomy version says it's in commemoration of creation. No, the other way around. Exodus says it's in commemoration of creation. Deuteronomy says it's in commemoration of the Exodus.
Interesting. Yeah. So this idea of rest, because we know in the God delivering his people from Egypt was delivering them from slavery and from that those works that they had to do for Pharaoh underneath his tyranny into the rest of true worship, of being able to serve the Lord their God. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something that always kind of struck me as very interesting.
Yeah. So why was Israel to rest on the Sabbath?
Well, as we said, Israel was called to rest in remembrance that God had freed them from slavery and that God rested from his work of creation, bringing joyful balance to the rhythm of life, work, and worship. Yeah, and I think that balance is a very important part of the equation.
Yeah, I think sometimes for some people the issue is sloth, right? They don't work as they ought to, but for other people they work too much and their sin is not observing Sabbath, is not resting.
Right.
There's a sort of, God gave us work to do. He put Adam in the garden to work it, we're told in Genesis. But there's a way that work can become the most important thing. It's that thing which we derive our security from. And having to step back and disconnect from work for a day is a way of saying, I trust God for his provision. Ultimately, it's not me that is providing for myself, but it is God who gives me my daily bread. And
that's a super important thing that's easily missed when it comes to being a workaholic or refusing to rest, is that it is a statement of self-reliance. It is a statement of lack of trust in God. And frankly, it kind of exposes our idols in this regard, you know, for those of us who are prone to being more workaholic.
Yeah. In the modern day, it's hard because work comes home with you on your laptop, on your phone. So can you take a day where you don't check your email, right? It's hard. I think I tend towards that more workaholic side.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And, me too.
Do I really need to be checking the church email right now? I mean, there's a way for people to get a hold of me in the case of an emergency, and that's not my not my email. So, yeah, these are the hard questions that you have to ask yourself. Going back to a rule of life, there needs to be provision for Sabbath in a rule of life. Because the fact is, too, we're just not made to work all the time. We need to have this healthy rhythm of work and rest. And if we don't do that, our emotional state, our body starts to feel the wear of just working around the, you know, that's those 7 days without rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, number 293, how did Jesus teach us to keep the Sabbath?
Well, as Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus taught us to keep it not merely as a duty, but as a gift of God to be received with joy and extended to others through acts of love and hospitality. Yeah, so there's lots of situations in the gospel where you have the religious leaders who are seeking to judge Jesus and condemn Jesus for doing a miracle or a healing on the Sabbath day. Yeah. And so this is one of those places of friction between the tradition that existed at that time and Jesus' teaching on the Sabbath.
Yeah, and I've heard it described that, especially for the Pharisees, their emphasis, kind of post-exile emphasis, was orthopraxy rather than orthodoxy. It doesn't really, you know, as long as you're doing those things on the outside so that we don't fall into the same patterns that led to the exile, things will be okay. Which, so you set up fences around the Torah. That's the phrase that's used in Judaism sometimes. You know, things that'll keep you from breaking the commandment. So maybe you'll break the fence, but you won't break the commandment. But that often misses the point, and that's where Jesus got into conflict with them, is that, you know, you're totally missing the spirit of the law. You're totally missing the heart of the matter. The Sabbath was one of those areas that he loved to use the way they approach the Sabbath to help point that out.
Yes, one of the first miracles of Jesus is in the synagogue, and there's the woman that is diseased, and he heals her. And that reveals the true purpose of the Sabbath. It's, as Christ says, it's for us. The Sabbath was a gift from God for us.
That's right.
So that we could be whole. And so God become man, extending his compassion and mercy and grace to this woman to make her whole, is completely in sync with what it means to rest before the Lord, to have a Sabbath before the Lord. So it's one of the few places that Jesus gets angry.
Yeah, yeah. And you see what's the precedent on that? You know, he's setting her free, just like God set the Israelites free, and how the Sabbath commemorates that. Absolutely.
Amen. So question 294, how does the Sabbath serve as a promise for the future of God's people?
When the church is perfected in Christ, all believers will dwell in God's new creation, free from sin and its curse, and eternally united to God in love, adoration, and joy. This will be our unending Sabbath rest. Yeah, this is important. This is where we have the Sabbath as a hint at the world to come, a hint at the recapitulated Eden, as it were.
Where we do rest from all of our striving, and we see God face to face.
Yeah.
And the whole world, where it really, Sabbath points to forgiveness, and it points to this eternal rest that we will have in the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's and there's a lot of things in Hebrews that tease this out. It's worth a read. So number 295, how do you keep the Sabbath?
I cease from all unnecessary work, rest physically, mentally, and spiritually, and join with my family and church in worship, fellowship, and works of love.
Yeah, this points to, you know, our day that we set aside for worship, you know, Sunday, and we're going to talk about Sunday, the first day of the week, later on in this section. But how, you know, we ought to focus on things of God on those days, and we also ought to rest. It's real easy to fill that up with other things. This was a bit of a point of contention within our own history in Anglicanism. Some of the more Puritan faction wanted to have a very, very strict approach to Sabbatarianism, and that continues on even after you know, the Puritans are no longer really Anglicans. It does continue on within a certain stream. But on the other hand, you know, folks that wanted to, as long as they got to do what they wanted to do, they kind of blew off, you know, they didn't mind making their servants work more or whatever. That's also outside the spirit. And so we want to do this in a way that is reasonable, is biblical, is God focused.
Yeah. There's a lot of issues today, I think, especially as the culture is shifted away from its Christian presuppositions. Things like baseball games and soccer games on Sunday morning are very, very common. And yeah. It's very, very important that you make the choice to prioritize worshiping the Lord, to be in his presence. And if you don't do that, then it's harmful for your soul. It's harmful for your body, and it's harmful for your family, because what are you telling your kids when you choose to do baseball or soccer on the day that is set aside for the worship of God? And you're telling them in a very concrete way what the true priorities are.
That's right. That's right. And oftentimes the world doesn't understand this. I was reading a tweet from a pastor who was talking about that when they got his daughter on whatever competitive sport she's in, you know, it was very clear from the get-go, we will not go to games on Sundays. You know, we will not bring, she will not participate in this. And a lot of the people on her team, other parents, just assumed, oh, that must be because your dad is a pastor, and so you just can't make it. We'll give you a ride. It's okay. You're like, no, that's not the point. It's not about that we have scheduling conflicts. No, this is an issue of priority. And folks just weren't getting it. Just don't get it.
Yeah, it's a really good, I think there's a way to make that statement that's not self-righteous. That's just saying these are my priorities. And when you do that in such a firm way and kind way, that's evangelistic.
Yeah.
It really is evangelistic, because because people will look at that and they will ask, like, what really is going on here? This really means something to them. And that's very important. So 296, what does this commandment teach you about work?
My work is a gift of God that can grant me provision and satisfaction and serve the common good, but it neither defines my life nor rules over it. I'm thereby freed from resentment and sloth to work diligently and with joy for God's glory. Oh, this is such a good point. It is a gift from God. It's not the thing that defines us. It's not our identity. And that's really hard to think about sometimes.
Well, how many discussions start with, hey, my name is Kurt. What's your name? Oh, Bob. Hey, what do you do? You know, it's like right underneath your name is whatever your employment is. And I wish maybe there was something else that we could say after what's your name, then what do you do? Because, I mean, what we do is important. It's very, very important, but it is not the defining factor of who we are.
Right.
And there's
absolutely.
And there's a lot of study. I think there's studies that show that people are actually more productive if they have adequate rest.
And oh, so, yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's the whole, you know, you need to sharpen the axe if you're going to use it. You can't just, you know, barrel through chopping a tree with a dull axe. It's not going to work. You know, you'll actually chop that tree down better if you stop, take the time, sharpen the axe, get it going.
One of the most fundamental things that you can do for yourself as far as your health is to make sure that you set aside the appropriate time you need to sleep.
Yeah.
And that
another thing that we're not good at oftentimes.
We're not good at, we get in front of these screens. We don't sleep. We wake up, look at our phone, and the blue light gets in our eyes. So the reason we follow this commandment is not pragmatic, right? It's not utilitarian, but it is interesting that the way that God made the world was for us to have appropriate rest so that we can work. There's supposed to be this rhythm of life, and that is given to us in this commandment.
And one of the things we do see with God's commands is that life does work better when we follow them. I mean, even though the point is not the pragmatism, he does give them for our good. He does it because he loves us. It's not arbitrary. It's not because, you know, he's a killjoy. It actually is for our good. And so, it shouldn't be a surprise that it's better when we do things the way he tells us to.
It's interesting that it says that following this commandment will free us from resentment and sloth to work diligently with joy. Yeah.
Yeah. Adequate rest can be an antithesis to sloth. When we are overwhelmed, when we have not gotten rest, we are going to, the natural response is going to be to meet that with a certain amount of, if not laziness, at least kind of,
a procrastination.
Yeah. Lackadaisical approach, things like that.
And resentment is an interesting choice here too. I think when work becomes our idol, the motivations behind that can often be unhealthy, right? It's a unhealthy striving to keep up with the Joneses, an unhealthy striving to be able to accumulate the wealth we need to feel that we're finally secure. Whereas when you take that time to rest and then you have to battle that within you, you can work out of a different mode. You can work out of that rest. You can work out of that trust for God and of God. And so that sort of work has a joy to it, a generative capacity that isn't there if you're viewing work in terms of just acquiring stuff and whatever that is that you think you need in order to feel secure or valuable.
So number 297, why does the church worship on the first day of the week rather than the seventh?
The earliest Christians came to observe Sunday as the Lord's Day for their primary day of worship in remembrance of Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week. Yeah, this is a common question.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you disobeying this by worshiping on Sunday? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in the Old Testament, it's pretty clear it is the seventh day. So why do we do it on the first day? And there is reasons behind that. It is something that happens for a reason. It's not just because we didn't read our Old Testament well enough.
Right. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. So that Lord's Day, we know from Christian history, is the new Sabbath, Sunday. And Sunday is chosen for what reason? Why is Sunday the new Sabbath?
The day of the resurrection. That's right. The day of the resurrection.
So that's the day that Christ is vindicated and we are justified. We are forgiven through the power of the death and resurrection of Christ. And so that leads into this new era, this new world, as Paul puts it, of rest, of being able to be in Christ and in Christ being freed from our sins, being freed from our guilt, and having that promise of eternal rest with God in eternity.
Yeah. And it does seem that this practice happens very, very early on. We see the reference in Revelation in the book of Acts. It seems that the pattern, at least for St. Paul, was that he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And then at the close of the day, he'd meet with the believers. We have the famous scene where that poor young man was listening to him by the window. And I guess Paul became a long-winded preacher and he falls out the window. And Paul prays for his resurrection from the dead after that. Almost a comical miracle there. But it wouldn't be comical if it turned out the other way.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, that's happening on the sundown on the seventh day, which in their reckoning is the first day of the week.
Sometimes we forget that Sunday. Sometimes we forget that Christianity is a type of Judaism.
Yeah.
And it was important for the early church to begin to distinguish itself from the other forms of Judaism. And one of the ways it did that was it made Sunday, the day that Christ rose, the day of rest, to distinguish from Saturday. And the other thing they did is they also changed the days that they fasted, right? I believe from a Tuesday, Thursday to a Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, that happens at least kind of at the that turn of the second century. By then, that seems to have been the norm per the Didache.
So question 298, what does the Sabbath teach you about time?
Through an ordered life of weekly worship and rest throughout the Christian year, and by a regular pattern of daily prayer, I learned that time belongs to God and is ordered by Him. In Ecclesiastes, we talk about there's a time for every season. And the same is true in our life rhythms. There's times for feasting and fasting. There's time for work. There's time for rest. That's the way things are.
Yeah. The Christian calendar and rhythms of worship give us sort of a temple of time. Give us a cathedral of time, a way that as we move through time, we do it in view of and in the presence of Christ. And the Sabbath allows us to do that. If you fast on Friday, as is normative for Christians, you remember Christ's death on the cross. And if you celebrate on Sunday, as is normative for Christians, and rest, then you remember His resurrection. And so there's this beautiful rhythm then that you have in your week of remembering Christ and what He's done for you.
So the last question for the fourth commandment, number 299, how does keeping the Sabbath help you grow in Christ?
As I keep a weekly day of rest and worship, my faith in God, my Creator, is strengthened. My hope in God, my Provider, is renewed. And my love for God, my Redeemer, is deepened. So Creator, Provider, and Redeemer. Well, that harkens back to the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest. So we remember that he creates us. And having created us, He sustains us. As we rest from our labor, we realize that He's the one that provides our daily bread. And we're showing that through our not working or choosing to not work on this one day out of the week. And then our love for God as Redeemer is deepened as we remember His deliverance of His people from Egypt, and His deliverance of us from the Egypt of sin and death by the power of His resurrection.
Amen. Yeah. The Sabbath is, there's a reason why it was so important in the Old Testament, and why keeping the Sunday worship schedule has always been so important to the church. We neglect these things to our peril because it is a really rich part of what it means to follow God.
Yeah. And really the Sabbath needs to be for us more than just a day, but it's also something we should carry in our hearts throughout the week as we rest in the promises of Christ that He's forgiven us. And it's something that fuels our hope, knowing that the ultimate reality of the Sabbath is that no matter what sort of trial or tribulation we're going through now, we know that God will resolve that and that He will heal this world and we'll be with Him in eternity, in perfect rest.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a comment below. You can also take Anglican Catechesis with you on the go by subscribing to the podcast. You can find the link in the YouTube description. Lord willing, we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.